back to New York City.
Woo!
Oh man, I am buried in a mountain of PDFs of previews for Basel Art Fair, as well as Lista and the Basel Social Club, all opening next week. I am wheels up tomorrow evening, Tuesday, 11 p.m. en route to London. What's up, Nate Freeman?
Not too much. I'm still looking for a hotel room in Basel.
But Nate, I kept reminding you to get a hotel room. You haven't booked your hotel yet.
I unfortunately won't be making it over to the great Rhineland city of Basel due to some scheduling issues and other
Nate,
issues.
Nate, can we have a Basel without you?
I think it'll be okay. I think you guys, y'all will, you know.
Do we need to dial up Jimmy Murdoch and have the bird take you over?
You know, I have to check with the brass to see if that's allowed. I think it's not allowed.
I'm thinking maybe no.
I think that I can't hop on the PJ, the guy who owns the fair.
Come on, you don't need to comment on this. Like Anna never grabbed a ride with Carl.
Right, yeah.
I mean, exactly. You know, come on now. I am bereft that you're not going to be in Basel, but more for you than for me. I mean, you know. It's not like you were going to schlep and carry this heavy-ass podcast gear that I'm taking with me anyway.
You are getting the podcast gear across
I
the pond.
I hate carrying this shit on the airplane.
I know.
I feel like such a pool boy.
You're not a pool boy. You said pool boy?
Pool boy.
Pool boy.
Like
okay.
The sandwich, but, you know, less delectable.
Okay. Oh, got it. Because a pool boy also.
I think broke boy is the phraseology.
Broke boy, yes.
That I'm looking
but
for.
You ain't no broke boy because you've been going through the previews. You're seeing what shit. You can get to your clients. You're going to make some fucking money next week.
We will see. We will see. You know, obviously, if I weren't going to play it so close to the vest, I'd go through and tell you everything I was excited for in the previews. But listeners, you got to pay my retainer for that to happen.
Oh, no.
There are people bringing some amazing things, but there's also like amazing art scattered all over Europe that I'm excited for.
Yeah, so tell me about your days before.
I'll give you the itinerary because I'm sure people really care. So I'm flying into London tomorrow, arriving to do some meetings Wednesday morning, catch some galleries in Mayfair. And then really on Thursday, I'm going to be like pedal to the metal, early morning Barry's, and I'm going to go out to see the Jacqueline Humphreys show at Modern Art. I'm going to make a point to stop by and see the amazing looking group show at Sadie Cole's.
Amazing.
Which looks incredible. I need to stop by Gagosian. Obviously, it's right next door to my hotel, but they have a very cool Gary Gowrels curated show of abstract painting. Very on brand. And they got a lot of like very cool consignments
from
other galleries.
I was following with bated breath as Helen Martin, you know, posted her little tour to Instagram, which was quite fun.
That PDF is fucking pretty en fuego. And also things, and then it's friend of the pod, never a guest yet, but Henry Alsop will be celebrating his 50th birthday on Thursday evening.
Can't believe
in the wilds of Notting Hill.
Ugh, the eternal boy turns 50. I can't believe I see the day.
He's the most boyish 50-year-old you're ever going to meet.
Oh, man.
It's clean living mostly, I think.
Right.
And certain hereditary.
good blessings. Bones.
Good bones there. Mm. So that'll be very fun. There'll be lots of mutual friends of ours in attendance, I am sure. So I'm very keen for that. And then I'm going to zip on the Eurostar. Unfortunately, I waited a bit late to book my ticket. So I was stuck with a 7 a.m. Eurostar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's going to be, after Henry's birthday, that's going to be a good time.
Wow. I've never done the 7 a.m. Eurostar.
No, I've never been on the Eurostar before, so I'm excited. Anything I should know about it?
Eurostar is great. I mean, you shouldn't load up on some trashy British magazines.
Okay,
for
into
free,
it.
You know, as you board. That's like, you know, some of the best train times I've ever had is just drinking a pint, reading Tatler.
Okay, I'm into it. Obviously taking the first class coach.
Yes, of course.
Just because I have all this baggage, like this fucking cucked podcast case. so I had to.
You'll probably run into someone fun.
I would think so, right?
Even on
the 7 a.m.? I don't know.
Yeah, I think even on the 7 a.m.
Let's see if it's still going here. Yep. And then I'm going to roll around Paris again, some great looking shows. I forget what, see some things. And then I'm basically stopping over for the David Zwirner opening and dinner of a show by the great New York painter Lisa Yuskovich, another East Village resident, much like yourself, Nate Freeman.
Lisa and I had a really fun time at a dinner for Sean Landers a few months back. She's one of the best people you can run into at a dinner. She's so fun.
Yeah,
so
she's full of life, man.
Yeah.
Do you think she's ever heard of the pod? I'll bring it up. I'll see if she ever wants to be a guest.
You mentioned it to me, but I don't know.
I think she's probably more of a Vanity Fair reader, would be my
Definitely
guess.
Definitely a Vanity Fair reader. Hopefully, you know, listening to the pod. If you're listening, Lisa, reach out. Love to have you on.
So we'll do that, and then I'll take a less early morning train the next day. I've given myself an allowance to head up to Zurich. It's a 4-hour train ride. I'm looking forward to that. I think that'll be beautiful.
Beautiful train ride.
Yeah, I think that'll be absolutely gorgeous. Unfortunately, I'm not sure if you've looked at the weather, but all of Basel week, it's forecast to be raining fucking every single day in Zurich and Basel. Yeah, it's a rainy Basel.
So
if you haven't finished your packing list yet, boys and girls, make sure you make some adjustments and allowances. You're not going to want to wear the suede footwear.
Kunsthal is going to get schwampy.
Yeah, those summer walks might want to get packed away. Instead, pull out the wellies.
Well, I can't say I'm going to miss that, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, that sweaty, humid tension over Kunsthal Bar area. Yeah, so dark.
So dark.
We've all been there. We'll be there again. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we're still, that's still 10 days out. The forecast might not
be correct. Right, it could change, yeah.
And so I'm gearing up for that. There are some great things in Basel. I'm quite keen on it. I'm really bummed you're not coming.
I know, man. I'm very bummed as well.
We'll have to get a special correspondent to pod with me in Basel if I'm carrying this case. I'm guessing James is going to have to pinch hit for you once again.
I think so. I mean, he did a great job last year. So, you know, I very humbly hand my reins over to Mr. Kudosa-Shaver.
Yeah, I think last year I got him just at the right level of hungover versus feeling better, like fed him a beer, and he really rose to the occasion. I hope we can catch him there again this year.
Yeah, I think you know, just give him a beer and a bratwurst, he'll be fine. He'll be good to go. Yeah.
Oh, no bratwurst for you? No roasty?
No, I'm going to have to like go down to fucking Cafe Katia or something and just
none
like...
None of the fondue?
I know.
We're not going to sit up after the first, like kind of towards the end of the first day of the fair, crack you open a bottle of white wine,
man,
on the expense account?
I promise this,
I can
this
imagine
will never happen again.
Henry Martin, Carl Costiel, me, you should be there.
I know I should be there. I'm very bummed. But you know what? We'll get through this. It'll be okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm not going to beat up on you. I know you're. I know the FOMO you'll be feeling will be punishment enough for not booking in advance.
This is extremely true.
So everyone, send out a little heart and some love to Nate.
Thanks, y'all.
We'll as we're in either the Kronenhalle or the Kunsthalle, we will raise a toast to you and pour a little bit of our very, very overpriced Swiss beverage out for our homie, Nate Freeman.
Yeah. I'll be in Kingston.
All right, that's enough of our pitter patter. Did you do anything fun over the weekend? I did nothing. I had like kids' birthday parties and stuff.
I went to the Mets game.
Oh, that's cool. You went with some arts affiliated people, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the Artisac Kitnick, the aforementioned Mr. Cardoso Shaver, and the art advisor to the stars, Daniel Auglander.
Oh, indeed. Did you guys see a full game or did it get rained out? Because that was like the thunderstorm night, right?
I had to leave early for baby reasons because the game started like an hour and a half late because of the rain delay. But that means the crowd was already, you know, very excited. Friday night crowd
was pretty wet as well, shall
yes,
we say?
Yes. It was, you know, a noticeable difference from your average Tuesday night Mets game. I don't think I've ever been to a Friday night game, but it gets rowdy
out there in
Queens.
I can
oh,
imagine.
Oh, man.
That's a good crowd. Did you guys stop for dinner on the way up, or did you get some
hot
dogs at the stadium?
No, we got snacks at the stadium. I had a delicious sausage. The big man, Stevie, did not seem to be in attendance. I was looking over the owner's box. Don't think he was there.
Did you reach out to Sophie or anyone to let her know that you were there? Because like,
I think I mentioned to Sophie when I saw her the Dia thing that I was going to the Mets game, and she, you know.
I know she's a huge Mets fan.
She is a huge Mets fan.
I
think she just nodded approvingly. She's like, great, love that you're going to the game. And I said, yes, that's good.
And there's some big events tonight. I am like, I'm doing no social plans because it's my last day home with the kids or night home with the kids. But I believe there's an opening of a great Christopher Will public commission happening.
Yeah,
right?
I'm going to make my way up to 2 Manhattan West, I think this building's called. It's a Brookfield Properties place, much like the Lever House that I was just in last week. Read my column, blah, blah, blah. They were unveiling new public works by the great Christopher Will and the great Charles Ray.
Amazing.
And there's a little cocktail soiree to celebrate both artists who will be in attendance.
That's pretty cool. I wish I could make it, but I'm...
Yeah,
it
sounds like nice, very chill. I'll be home, you know, in time for a late dinner. You know, and then things start to thin out because everyone kind of goes to Europe.
Everyone's away.
I know. There's a few openings.
Lomex is counter-programming, I noticed.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Yeah, Mr. Lomex told me he was... very excited to be staying here. So we're going to hang. Probably.
Nothing worse than a podcast talking about a tweet, but I really enjoyed when he tweeted out, made it into the Basel Fair. And then like 3 hours later, Miami Basel.
Yeah. Hey, but congrats. It's good to make it into Miami Basel.
Yeah, but it's not like making it into the main event.
It's not. But yeah, I think I'll just be kicking it here. If anyone else is giving bobs, let me know.
Someone please keep Nate company for me.
Yeah, me and Alex Shulin will be here in an empty New York City.
Dark. All right, Bubby. Coming up, we have the great Meredith Rosen, who has a couple of galleries on the Upper East Side.
Oh, you're going to want to hear this one.
She's brilliant. She's awesome. So she has fun. Some of the best energy in the game. I'm so happy for y'all to be able to listen to this blessed conversation coming up right after this. Welcome back to Nota Bene. We are joined by the Upper East Side's own Meredith Rosen. What's going on, Meredith? How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
We are so excited to have you here in advance of your appearance with your gallery at the upcoming Art Basel Unlimited the week after next.
Yes.
But before we get to that and all that excitement and fairs and all those good things, I want to hear about the genesis of your wonderfully weird little gallery that's had like several bangers of a show right in a row. I'm sure they've all been bangers, but at least on my radar, aww, like the last three shows have been absolute. Absolutely.
Getting a lot of ink in the old paper record. I've been seeing that.
Yes, we are very grateful for all of the press we've been receiving and all that stuff. Yeah, you know, I have two spaces on the Upper East Side right now. One is 11 East 80th Street in the basement of a historic brownstone right next to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. It was formerly an old psychiatrist's office. And then I have another space on 11 East 78th Street, and again, between 5th and Madison. And that's on the first floor of a historic brownstone that's a small space, but it's very cool. I love that building with like leopard carpet, and it's weird and amazing.
Both your spaces are wonderfully weird, I would say, because when we think of an Upper East Side gallery, at least I have a certain like image in my mind.
Yeah.
The Scarsdeads, the world, and things
you know,
like
my
that.
Boys, like Larry and
your guys that you hang out with at San Ambrose
of course.
Every morning.
So, you know, just
espresso.
Like the three of us.
And like you're there, it's like a little bit discordant. It's fun, but what you know, and oftentimes when we see a program such as yours is like a fairly radical one, like downtown Tribeca, I don't know, what made you decide when you're opening the gallery to focus on my favorite neighborhood in New York?
Well, a few reasons. Number one, I can't stand ever being like a trend follower, so I always have to create it myself for better or worse. And so I'm like, you know, I thought it would be so interesting to show the type of art that you just defined, but the type of art that has a lot of energy and is very cutting edge that I show, I still think is art historically important and critically important. And pairing that next to my colleagues that do old masters and very expensive art, I thought was kind of fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I love that.
And just it's pleasant up there and I'm very comfortable up there and it's been great. And I had a hunch and I did it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and soon you'll have Sotheby's as your neighbor. I know you do a lot of business
NJ
with their secondhand market.
Uh-huh.
NJ, of course.
Very sooner than Sotheby's. Very soon. Matter of months.
I mean, maybe. We've heard there's a White Cube opening. We've heard there's a White Cube opening in New York City for 10 years.
They're renovating.
It's been confirmed that September. I was already hit up to plan the party.
Oh.
Very informal.
To plan the party? No. Is that allowed in your Vanity Fair contract?
I just asked for some ideas. Like, you know, I'm not planning any party, but...
Anyway, let's go back to the beginning, Meredith. How did, like, I don't know what you were doing before you had an eponymous gallery.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get your start in the world of art?
How far back should I go?
I want to go back to the beginning. I want to go back. I want to hear about it.
This is the definitive.
People want to know because all sorts of people listening to this pod, they're like, how this woman like have this amazing gallery? Like, how do I do that? They're not going to be able to do it, but let's hear the path that you did.
You're not
how did I create this out of thin air?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I studied art history in college. And then in grad school, I went to this small program at FIT that was like critical art history, but like really gallery focused as well. And for my graduate thesis, I had this idea where I wanted to work with the best contemporary artists in the world and create an edition of hand knotted rugs in Nepal. So I like literally had no, I don't.
That's some heady shit right there.
Okay, so like, you know, you could see where I got.
You know,
like
Nepal.
You're always you, you know, you're always you.
Yeah.
So literally like, I was like, okay, so like who looks like the most important contemporary artist right now? Chris Wohl. So I Googled Christopher Wohl, New York, New York, and I got the number to his studio. And I called him and I was like, hey, Christopher, I'm doing this like project for my graduate thesis. I found this like incredible factory in Nepal and I want to make an edition of like hand knotted rugs. And he's like, sure, let's do it.
And
And then from then on, I worked with him. And I did this out of my grad school professor, John Post Lee. I don't know if you know him. He used to have a gallery with Jay Gorney, Gorney Bravin, and Lee in the 90s.
So, he was the lead.
So yeah. I ended up being the director of his gallery throughout this whole thing. And then, but we did this business together. And then we also, so I ended up working with like Chuck Close. I literally had no textile experience. So like I would sit there in like Chuck Close's studio. I would have this graph paper. I would draw the painting that Chuck Close was painting next to him and pick Pantones and pick the colors for like months on the floor.
That's so sick.
So that's and a lot of time like, for a young lady in Chuck's studio.
But. Yeah, it was, as my husband would say, what's he gonna do? He's in a wheelchair. but it was like they came out amazing and the rugs were beautiful. Like and the Chris Wool one was like, it was like all silk. It was incredible. I worked with Jonathan Lasker. I worked with James Sienna. I worked with Thomas Niskowski. I worked with a million people. I think John might still do it. I have no idea. He bought me out years ago.
That's amazing. But it's did you go to Nepal to like get these?
I never went during that. Tom, I think John did later, but like I was like, I got out of it because I was like done grad school. And I was like, you know what? I want to be an art dealer, not a rug dealer. Let's make this happen. So, so from there, I started this gallery, Sergeant's Daughters, downtown.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And then I thought I did like great programming from there. And then, but from there, like I came from like secondary market, and I came from, so I did like this great show with like Catherine Murphy and James Sienna, and like I did this show with like Roland Flexner and like Japanese bronzes of the Edo period. Like, you know, I was always thinking. But the thing that I really learned to do on that platform was how to also discover young contemporary artists. And the artists that I discovered there were Jordan Castile, who I gave her first two shows to, Cy Gavin, who I gave his first two shows to, among a lot of other people. But those are probably the most successful.
Right now, commercially successful.
Right this second. Yeah, and many others. And from there... you know, my focus really...
Well, but slow down. Were you also doing secondary market dealing, like, in advance of opening Sergeant's Daughters?
No.
No, okay.
No, but it's something I know how to do, and I still know how to do. It's not something I look to do, but if an opportunity...
If it falls in your lap, I'll look
into it if it's real. But, so from then I was like, you know, like, I was working with Jen Rubel at the time, who became one of my closest friends, and she was like, Meredith, you know, like... She was like, Meredith, you got to just do this for yourself. Like, she's like, she's always said to me, like, you don't know how good you are at this. And I was like, okay, I guess. So I like went out on my own and she was my first show. She's like, I'm like, I don't know if I could like get a space. And then we like met this random person who like ended up giving us this free space on 34th Street. I don't know if you ever saw it. It was massive.
I didn't see it.
I had it for a year and like all free things, they take it away. But I did amazing shows there. I did Jen's show. I did Theo Triunafalis, both of which I still work with. I did amazing show by Lauren Nasser. I did a show with Rindon Johnson, Suzanne McClelland, and EU Susie Raja, who has the show up at MoMA PS1 right now. And then from there, they were like, okay, we're not going to give you this space anymore. And I was like, okay. Like, these spaces were really big, too. And the thing that I realized there is, like, I kind of wanted something I could hold in my hand.
Well, if you have a big space, you have to fill that space.
And also, like, I love energy, as you can tell through my program. I love, like you know, creating an environment. And I can really do production, and I can really figure these things out in a way that isn't, like, astronomically expensive. When you have a very large space, that becomes, like, kind of an issue. But so I wanted something I could, like, hold in my hand and, you know what, just, like, figure it out and, like, in the way that I needed to. So I found this listing on Craigslist, and I'm like, this address is amazing. But like, I'm like, is this terrible? I'm like, you know what? I really believe that like, it's about the art. So if I can show great shows, I think it's really cool. And, you know, people, when I first opened up there, people were like kind of freaked out by it.
So not only is it an intense space, like is the space important and the art's the most important thing in the space and the draw the people. But I think the address probably, I know it caught me by surprise when I first started noticing your programming and where it was. I was like, wow, like, you know, that's interesting, easy to get to, like, no problem. I don't need to go to the wilds.
Yeah, people like don't really understand it. I remember when I was installing for Art Basel Miami this year, Jack Shaman came up to me and he was like, you're Meredith Rosen? First of all, I thought you were going to be so much older. But like people just say funny things to me.
I didn't know if it was a real name, if it was kind of like a...
It's like
a
really
kind of
my name.
If you constructed some character.
Really my name.
You're not on some Marina Spalling shit.
No, yeah. It's like my husband is Michael Rosen. It's like it's real. It's so legit New York, you know, it's like...
And well, you combine it, With a very amusing Instagram account. So, like, I didn't know if it was like a, you
we
know.
We brought up the Instagram account. Okay.
Yes.
We have to. I mean, yeah, you know.
So, I remember when you started the gallery, you like emailed me and I was like, so I had like a heads up, right?
I think you were the first person I emailed when I started an art gallery. We've been around a while.
I know we have. So, I was like, this is great. Love Meredith. Like, she's going to crush it, blah, blah, blah. And then I saw, I was following your Instagram account before you posted anything. And then you started posting these. I guess me, I don't know. How would you describe what it does? Because it functions as an art project in and of itself, right?
Yeah, I guess. You know, I honestly didn't think that much of it when I started it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the thing is for me, it's like, I guess I just like, you know, I'm a pretty fun person. And it's just like, you got to have fun with it while and laugh at yourself while taking what you do seriously. And like, you know, and so I start, I'd always be in the situations where I was like, that were so like, crazy and random, you know, we do the
our world is insane
okay, like literally you cannot make this up, and I'd be like haha funny art dealing, like, you know what I'd be like some like weird shady like club in Berlin that I thought like there's a good chance I could die right now, and like I'd be like art dealing, and it's like it's and then so it kind of came from that. Then I was like looking at just like first I would just post videos that like did not make sense.
Yeah, well, it's...
And because I think... Because it'd be... And then everyone would be like, no, you're trying to say this or this or this. And I thought that was so funny.
Well, there's always like a Sisyphusian kind of like this, like, it's this like, you know, because the act of art dealing or working in the art world is ultimately like you're putting so much investment of time and energy and just like psychic into something that is oftentimes so fucking absurd.
Absurd. And it's like, no one's dying. But like, yeah, it's very important what we do, and it's real, and it's business, and it's money. So it's like that, it's kind of like the same thing. And it's, I always like, you know, I always found like just people's Instagrams to be so like, I just like, I always find just like being so salesy, so boring. And like, yeah, we sell a ton of art, you know, but yeah, it's like, but it's like, and you know, Alex, who works for me, my director, it's like, we move stuff like crazy, but it's like, it's just... It's just not my style to just be like, so like, this is my sales preview. Like, blah, like blah, right. blah, blah.
Or like wishing the artist in your roster a happy birthday.
Okay, I never announce a representation and I never announce a happy birthday.
Benjamin really hates the
birthday. Also, really like the representation things, you know if we're working together, okay? It's very clear when you're not.
And all your A clients know because they get a direct email.
Yeah, it's going to be clear one day or the other. So it's like...
It'll be clear when you get the invoice. Don't worry about it. What was the first show that you opened on the Upper East Side? I don't remember. And neither do
first
you, maybe.
First show? Oh, God. On the Upper East Side, the first show? I don't even remember.
I mean, I don't remember. Was it pre-pandemic?
It was pre-pandemic, but I did this really good show. Escapism was a group show.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, Tina Brager was in that show, and... just a million people in that show.
I'm trying to think of the first show that I saw there.
What was the first show you saw?
I don't remember either. I don't remember.
Oh, Frank Benson was in that show. Like, and then...
I remember...
guessing now.
You gave Mike Egan a show.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. That was the
crazy.
First... That was the first show I saw.
Mike and I are very, very good friends. And Mike and I just have, like... If Mike and I hang out, it's, like, a disaster. But it's, like, literally, like, we should just, like, be, like, I'm not going to be available for 2 days. But he was, like... I went to his apartment once and he was like, oh, I'm working on this series of like these like Lana Del Rey photographs that he like photographed on a shirt. I'm like, these are amazing.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's do a show. He's like, you'll do a show? I'm like, yeah, why not? And we had that. And it was so much fun. And we did this like epic after party. I think
that
you were there.
Epic.
That was epic. And Dean was there at Liza Minnelli's old apartment.
It was crazy. Wow. Dean had me shoot him as if it were
his apartment. I remember that Instagram.
And he was like, this is going on my Raya profile. Like, and I was like, no,
it was like, it's like, all mirrored.
Well, yeah. Hold on.
On the Upper East Side.
Liza Minnelli's former apartment.
Yes.
Yeah. There was like a $2 million table there or something.
Yeah.
Like,
the Molina table. It was insane. Yeah.
Totally insane. Was this an unforgettable
night. Client's apartment? How did you get access?
Yes, it was a client's apartment.
Just one of those like fairy tale New York.
It was like,
only in New York, baby.
It was so fun though, and it was just great people and a good time. But he did a show. You've had a show, but as I move forward, I'm really starting to build my gallery program, which has been so exciting. You know, we started doing all the Basels, and that we'll be continuing to do. And then, you know, it's been so much fun working with. I think the quality of work that we're working with and amazing artists that I've created these. Really close and important relationships with, which is the most fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
When was your first art fair that you did with
Last Miami, Miami, Last Miami. Basel.
That was right. So also an Unlimited project.
No, it was Survey.
Survey.
I did a casino with Guillaume Biel.
Well, I remember the casino.
I remember. I mean, it was one of the most memorable things.
Oh, thank you. We worked so hard on it.
Like, I'm not just saying it. I'm saying it objectively. Everyone was talking about it, Instagramming it. Like, it was just such a fun, funny way to do an art fair. I think people were bored of just, like, you know, normal.
And it was like such real art. So it wasn't like you were just creating this, like, stupid spectacle. This was like, this is a piece that was, like, shown in 1984, the smack in Belgium, okay? Yeah. Like, he represented Belgium in the Venice Biennale. He's done Documenta. He's done Manifesta. He's done anything. You name it, he's done it, you know? Mm. And it's like we were celebrating him in the States, in Miami, in what was right for the context of the work and making it fresh. And he was there the whole time. And he, if you've met him, he looks like the work and is incredible.
Oh, I didn't meet
him. Please come meet him in Basel. He is like, I've spent so, he's like the coolest person ever. And it's just, it was just like a blast. Yeah.
Was he enjoying Miami? Did,
oh, please. Did, I mean, was he at anyone that works with me has a good time, number one. He was at
the until 2 in the morning?
I mean, I think that's kind of how you, it must be, imagine how you get such great people to show with you, is that you're super fun and but they're fun people.
I'm fun, serious, and I do my job. Like, you know, I sell their art, I get them attention and whatever. But also, it's like we're in it together. And like, together we can create, like we can change the world is the vibe.
I love
and
it.
It's real.
Yeah.
And
it's
real.
That's actually why we're all in this.
I know, but it's like, you know, I'm not, it's like, you know, it's really comes from the heart.
Yeah, no, no. I that sounds flippant. I do what I do because I want to change the world. That's why I got into art.
Really?
Like, we have a lot of fun here in this podcast, and like the art world's a lot of fun, but like ultimately it's
we
about,
wanna
like,
change
the world.
And we wanna do that. And you know, if we wanted something else from it, we could be doing a lot of other things. But like, you know, you can't not do it.
Well, but I wanna get to maybe it's the serious part or a serious part of that changing the world is that in order to do these things, you need to be an economically viable organization.
Yes. Oh, and you can't fake it.
No. And as we've seen recently and time again, actually, if you fake it, eventually it catches up to you.
You need to sell art. I mean,
so how do you, you brought this amazing, historically important casino piece to Miami.
Yes.
How do you establish the relationships, or how have you established relationships that allow you
to sell this type of work?
To sell this type of work? Because people have to be really confident in you and your vision to buy something like
that. Yeah, I mean,
like
you
that.
Know, yeah, it is more challenging to sell installations than it is market paintings. Yes. But, you know, my theory is, which has been proven okay, is that, like, when you do things at the highest quality, they are acquired by museums, even if it takes a little longer, but it is. And it's like, it's not the only thing that I do, but yeah.
Yeah, because I mean that's incredible. You were able to be economically successful enough to place parts of that project, right?
Yes, 100%. And yeah, we sold parts to like we're still talking for parts of it too to like many places and getting him opportunities from it and now showing it in Switzerland and
not to rub you off too much, there's something pretty G about doing your first fair and having it be a Basel fair.
Oh yeah.
And your second fair, do you have a second fair lined up? I know. This is what we call a leading question in the game, which is incredible to have as your second to be showing in Basel. What are you going to be doing there?
Well, I'm doing a few things in Basel. I'm doing another project with Guillaume. We're doing a piece from 2002 that was a mattress factory that we're recreating. It's,
oh my God.
It's insane. It's just insane. And it's...
Oh, slow down. A mattress factory is in a place that makes the things we sleep on.
Yes, like a shop.
On. Okay.
Wow.
But it's large scale and it's beautiful. And it's like you can sit on the mattresses and it's just like, it's going to be...
That sounds incredible.
It's
just,
and it's so timely with like COVID and everything the art world is. And
Where shall we find it in Basel?
In Unlimited.
In Unlimited.
In Art Basel on Monday. And then I'm doing that new like startup project, Basel Social Club.
Super cool project.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, you know, I work with Robbie Fitzpatrick, and we share an artist, Chino Amobi.
Shout out, Robbie. We like Robbie.
Hi, Robbie. We love you. And so he invited me because we were working together on Chino's show. And it seemed like a great list of galleries, and it seemed like exciting new fresh energy in Basel. So I'm showing Gwoon Lee there, an artist I discovered from the Dusseldorf Academy, who is Korean, and she does these works that you'd almost think are airbrushed, but they're oil paint. And we've given her 2 shows already.
Sounds sexy.
Everything we show is sexy.
A lot of keywords there.
Everything we show is sexy. Ding, 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 ding. And then also Catherine Sudej showing a large scale sculpture.
Amazing. Yeah, the Basel Social Club is very cool. It is the new Lista. I stopped by last year, but just for a few minutes. I'm going to make sure I schedule more time this year. I literally hit it out of town.
It looks like a great group of galleries and really, really top work. So I'm excited about that.
And in addition to the fairs, which I think we'll circle back to, you also have like a great show.
Tina Brager.
Tina Brager. Yeah, Tina Brager is, I've been working with her now for like 5 years.
Yeah,
I think she's like one of the, I think, long-term best artists.
She shows with Daniel in Berlin.
Yep. Yeah. That's how I began to learn about the project.
And he's great. And yeah, she has great galleries. But like the paintings just like hit it out of the park this time. And it's just, we were like in the gallery after install. We're like, yeah, you know that feeling? You're just like, this is just good.
They're so good. I've yet to buy a painting by myself for myself by her, but I do have an amazing sweatshirt that she made.
Oh yeah, we made them for the show too.
Oh, did you? Is there more?
Yeah, yeah.
I have to go back.
It's been years. I've noticed you wearing it quite often.
Yeah, well, I can finally.
I wear mine from the Kunsthal Bern, the Tina Brager. Literally, I had to buy another one because I needed to change. Yeah. So Tina's show is incredible. I was so proud of her, and she just did this awesome show in Belgium with Sturtevant, a two-person museum show.
Ooh,
so she's killing it. And then coming up, we are doing a very cool show after the week after Basel, a video show with Anna Gerlomia. She's an artist from Vienna. She's doing the Austrian Pavilion at the Venice Biennale this coming year. And we're going to be working with her going forward.
Totally new to me.
Yeah.
I feel like you're really out there in terms of not out there like in the nightclubs, but out there finding new
art.
Like, but out there like finding
artists.
That's
a good image for
me. Yeah.
As I'm with my kid, you know.
Right. We do. Sometimes. No.
Don't do that. But like, you know, finding artists at like the you know, in Germany at schools, like where are you kind
great
of
question,
like,
man. Where am I
where
looking?
You, yeah, where are you looking?
You know,
where are you finding these
okay, literally, I'm probably the most thorough person you have ever met. And I have been so thorough since I started like the project we were talking about in grad school. So it's like, I just look at everything everywhere. And if I find something interesting, I go and I dig and find more. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, I spent so much time in Europe that I went like 5 times back and forth to Europe since January.
Wow.
And like when I'm there, I'll just be like, oh, this is interesting. I met this person. I'll go there and get this or do that. And I like, I could really push. And I really am like determined to just show the best things I possibly can. And it's been great.
You have an aura of competency that I think is absolutely incredible. I would like to turn that dial up on myself. I just don't think I have it.
And the vigorousness, like, I wish I could go to Europe 5 times, like, in 6 months.
The thing that
I've
really made work is, because I have a small child, too, is, like, Monday through Friday. You can do 3 countries.
Yeah,
and you can be home on the weekend.
And you know, we have help. And, you know, and then, you know, I can't. And then you're back. And it's easy. I can't stay for weeks at a time.
Right,
but,
of course.
Unless it's a fair. But it's
that's
like,
enough. That's
it's
great.
Enough. Enough.
If you pound the pavement, you can see a lot.
Like, and we're like New Yorkers. Do you know how much we can do in a day?
Exactly.
Well, I'm really, at least for me personally, when I'm on the road in a different city, I see so much more than when I'm in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just
you just got to get out. And the other thing is, it's like you really have to, very few people you realize really make the effort.
Mm-hmm.
And you are so rewarded by that. And it's like, and honestly, I've just started like, it was fun. I love traveling. I wanted to do it, and I enjoy it too. So.
It's my favorite, one of my favorite
my
parts
favorite
about
thing.
Our job.
I could like, you could tell me, oh yeah, I go to a meeting in Paris tomorrow, and I'm there. Like, I just like that's my vibe.
Yeah. You got it, and showing up is 80% of it, right?
Exactly.
Just being there.
Yeah.
See, I just do that 80%. I feel like you have the follow through. You're 80% follow through.
20%
showing up. Yeah, maybe I need to rejigger my metrics there.
I think you're doing
there.
Okay,
Ben. Yeah, I'll survive. I'll survive.
I think you're doing quite well.
How long are you in Basel for? Quite a bit, yeah.
Well, because we're doing the early install, and then I'll be there for the duration of the fair. So I'm there for like 12 days.
Do you have any Basel like faves, like hotspots?
I don't know. Like Three Kings, I guess. We go for Three drinks.
We like the
restaurants, health routines. I don't know.
Health routines?
Do you like to? Have you ever been for a swim in the Rhine?
There's no berries.
I feel like that wouldn't be a safe choice for me.
Okay.
But
good,
like,
good to know.
I agree.
Do you feel me?
Totally.
Just like, we're like city people.
Have you ever done that?
I certainly have gone for a swim.
Mind you,
I was 23 or 24 years old. And
I just
done
feel
like
in that thing, man.
I was
see
talking
it
about that
game.
With a friend today, actually, and she was like,
"It's not safe. You could."
There's
die.
A current. Like it's like
yeah, there's a real current.
And like we're risk takers. Okay,
I'm in the best shape of my life right now. I'm
me
gonna
too.
Go for it again.
I do yoga all the time, but swimming,
I'm gonna have to jump
swimming
in
a natural river. I don't know. I'm open to it. So I'll let you know.
I'm gonna be 3 martinis deep and I'm gonna jump in the fucking
Rhine. See, that's
a
bad
idea.
That's a bad idea.
No, because I'm saving you. I don't want to jump
off the balcony
in the
of the Trois.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, you know, like it's I think it's scary. Don't do it.
Are you happy? Like, do you are you planning on doing any additional spaces in New York or any alterations? Do you feel like you have what you need?
I think
to
what
do
we're doing is working want? Right yeah, now. Okay. I always, of course, like thinking ahead. Like, I'm sure we'll need a bigger space at some point. I don't know when that is, but I'm very instinctive. So when it is, I'm sure I'll just do it. Yeah.
And is it just two of you that run this whole enterprise? You and Alex. I mean,
yeah.
You at the top and then
yeah,
Alex.
And then, you know, we have Soph and we have Maggie and I have Joe who are assistants.
Okay, so there is a support structure.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, they're not as full time, but like, it's like, but they're, you know, I have people doing admin, I like invoice, like it's shipping. It was just, shipping to me is like.
I'm not allowed to be involved in the shipping process for my business because when Benjamin gets involved, bad things happen.
I understand. It's like, it's so, I find
it's just not my side of the brain.
It's also just like annoying.
It's annoying, and then I start asking questions, and the questions no one has an answer or wants to answer.
Yeah, or it's like they're like, why don't you know this?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Do any of the other dealers on the Upper East Side come by? Yeah. Yeah? Like, who's...
Like, I see Daniel Buchholz.
Oh, yeah, of course,
Buchholz. Well, that's there feels like there's a natural synergy
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he's great, and I love his program, being, yeah. And Peter's great, yeah. And... Yeah.
Another Barry's
oh,
guy. Peter.
Also, the people at Monica Spruth at Spruth.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
They're right across the street from me.
Oh yeah, it's
and
so
they when they there. Moved up there, they were like so friendly.
Yeah, yeah, they're
great. They come by and I've had drinks with them and all that.
Well, that might I feel like they would be supportive of your project. It feels
yeah,
like
they think it's cool. It's fun.
Well, because by the way, in case we haven't mentioned this, it is really fucking cool.
It's really fucking
yeah,
cool.
Oh, you're very sweet. That means a lot to me. No, you know how hard I work on it. So
and like being cool isn't enough because it also like it has the chops to back it up. But also is.
But it's like you know it's. It doesn't just happen.
I wanted to ask you this because, for obvious reasons, I can't really go to the TikTok to out Bemelman's bar anymore. But I know that you're probably having lunch with Larry Capo every day. But like, you know, are there other places that you know hidden secret places on the Upper East Side?
Yes. Okay. We have all our after parties at Dorian's.
Love Dorian's, and I've been to an after party.
You guys have to start coming more. I know you've been.
I've been to after parties.
It's insane. Oh, first of all, Dorian's. It took like 3 years for them to acknowledge me, but now we're best friends, so it's all good.
Look, I've been going to Dorian's for years. It rips.
Who
it's
has
awesome.
It?
It's like
they give me the whole outside. Everybody can come. It's like so. It's like all.
For those who don't know, like Dorian's is a key like kind of. Post-collegiate, post-Ivy League watering hole on the Upper East Side.
Yeah. And if you're a prep school kid in the Upper East Side.
Yeah, you went in high school.
Exactly. And there was an incident, I think.
Yeah, which means, yeah. It's, know, like, that's where it's all a good vibe.
Yeah.
But it's...
You see the Yankees in there a lot, just drinking it up if they won
funny.
The game. You
it's
know?
Funny.
It's a great bar. It's a
and
great,
it's
great
fun.
Bar.
People
went there
love
after
it.
Pitching a perfect game and got fucking hammered.
Especially,
I didn't know
like, if you're... I show, like... Mostly not, it just happened that way, like European artists, and they think it's like amazing too.
Oh my God, I'm sure they're just like fucking in love.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, you want to give the whole American experience.
Yeah, I mean, oh God.
And then if I do a dinner, which you've also been to, Nate, Pig Heaven on the Upper East Side, which is like a Michelin rated Chinese restaurant.
So fun. I grabbed a menu from there the other night. And it's like wanting to order for dinner.
I highly recommend.
Okay. Really good.
We can talk dishes later.
Okay.
But
Well, no. What's the number
I
one?
I like the whole fish and black bean sauce.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go.
Always do the whole fish. It's never a mistake.
Never a mistake. So, I don't know. There, it's very good. You know, always any pork dish there is really... It's very high quality.
Into it.
And then for lunch, you know, as expensive as it is, it's Eat St. Ambrose. There's just like, it's a desert over there. You have Marche Madison, which is like an old school favorite, but that's, it's really that or bust.
Yeah. I mean, Marche Madison is also very, very expensive.
It is. But you know, you just don't get the $12 Jello. You get like a bagel or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the diner there.
Oh, Three Guys.
Three Guys.
Oh, no. And Nectar. I was at Nectar the other day, yeah. And I had a salad and like maybe like an iced tea or something, and it was like $55. I'm like, I just can't. I was like, you know, this is just like so offensive.
Like, middle fingers up. Just be like,
I was
fuck
just like,
Nectar.
I'm just, and of course, I probably went with like my kid on a play date. But it's like, it's just like, I just like, this is so offensive. $55.
Well, I twice in the past 6 months have been starving, walking up Madison, being like, oh, there's Eat. Like,
just
I walk,
go.
I walk into Eat. And I pick up like a little tiny like pre-made
$27.
Sandwich, and I will spend the most absurd amounts of money on the most insane.
It just
things.
Makes you
I
feel bad.
I can't.
It
I can't.
Makes you
every
feel
time
bad.
I put it down, I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna be low.
See, my theory is anything else, what's it gonna
money
be $5 less?
Pocket.
And at least at Eat, it's good.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Okay,
I'm
so
not talking
like,
about the quality. The quality.
What are you gonna go? What are you gonna walk over to Lexington to get something $5 less?
No.
That's bad. There's also Butterfield.
Yeah, there's Butterfield.
Butterfield's great.
I'm a little sick of it, but yeah.
How much of your collecting base is outside of New York versus New Yorkers?
I think it's mixed, you know. I do have European collectors too, and I have obviously mostly New York, some LA. You know, it's really global right now, especially because, you know.
I mean, this is just magical.
Meredith. Oh, you're the best, man. Yeah. You guys are magical, both of you.
You're just as awesome as I thought you were. Before we started, I was like, you know, I don't know anything about you really, so I'm really excited for this. You're like, I hope I don't let you down. Oh. You definitely have not.
I kind of knew I wasn't, but I just wanted to make your expectations.
You ask, did you hold on to any of those rugs?
I do. I live with one.
Yeah, that's sick.
And I have that by James Sienna. And then I also, Chris Wohl gave me a present where he made me a little piece.
Let's go! Oh,
that I would Chris, never sell if my life depended on it.
I'm seeing Chrissy Baby tonight. Where he maybe made, I'll thank
he,
him.
He made me, it's like a, not like a, it's like a print, I guess, that was made for the project, but I have it and it's really near and dear to my heart. It's one of the few pieces I live with.
I think that's a really cool way to get started in the art world, because you're just like, you saw Space Junk. I'm just going to do this. I don't know what the rules are.
You're so always you.
It. Yeah.
You know, it's like, and I've never really like, I never worked for like the Lowry. I never worked for like, and the thing is, to that advantage, I you have to be successful. I think you have to do it differently. It's the only way it works. So.
Yeah, you got to find white space and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Run with it. All right.
Well, I'm looking forward to hanging out a little bit in Basel.
Let's
I can't
do
wait
it.
To see
Three
the project.
Kings. Let's All right, do it.
I'll see you there.
Sounds good.
That's it for us. No te bene.
Ow.